listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life broadcast for Wednesday, January 27th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. You know, it is the last Wednesday of January 2021, and I'm saying, where did the month go? Oh. And so much has happened this month. It's just kind of crazy.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's gone by so fast, and we were just dragging through 2020, and here we are in 2021. But
Well, we want to say welcome to everybody, and we're glad that they can all join us. And I know you're going to read the 9 principles of belief here shortly, but stay tuned, everybody. It's going to be a really interesting evening of reincarnation.
It is. And we always have interesting discussions when we kind of delve into these, you know, really comprehensive topics where you can go in a lot of different directions. But as always, we will begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, as we were saying, tonight is going to be another interesting one, and we have delved into this in the past, but it's such a good topic, and it applies to so many things, and we're going to talk about how. Reincarnation. And I think that, Dr. Hunter, you definitely have more of a fundamental understanding of the concept than I, but I've, looked into, of course, you have the Hindu traditions. I especially had delved into Buddhism at one point and looked at the different beliefs and how different it was from, more Abrahamic religions or Western religions. But what would your thoughts be on that in kind of a traditional sense to get us started?
Well, there's so many religions that reference and support the belief of reincarnation. And Buddhism is right off the top. I think that there is inference in Bible studies, Christian Bible studies, although that's not necessarily what, a lot of people would agree to. But I think there's a lot of inferences in there, such as, somebody living 400 years, well, that could be reincarnations, different or incarnations.
That's a very interesting way to look at it.
And angels being spirits and connected to the other side. So I think there's a lot of inferences there, but I don't think that there's much of a religion that doesn't kind of refer to some aspect of other life memory. I know that nearly all, in fact, all that I know of, indigenous communities and groups are all of, a reincarnation kind of ilk. So it's, it's certainly been around forever. It's not new. Now, Dr. Cecilia, who just checked into our chat, nice to see you here, Cecilia. She posted a video on a One Planet community on Facebook today and talking about a young boy who had complete memory of a previous lifetime when he was Pam. And they actually located the area, who he was, had his name. And this is not unusual. There are a lot of kids who, mine included, who reference another lifetime or another time, place, people or situations, or I've been here before. Mm-hmm. Generally, though, this memory starts to fade as I think the soul grounds into this lifetime, usually by the age of 9 or thereabouts, 9 to 11. That's almost not even thought of anymore. They get into this lifetime. But this is where I see that there's a tremendous spiritual memory that comes with a lot of us in our in this incarnation. So that lends to, you know, a belief, like the added belief in reincarnation. Now, is there evidence? Well, some people would say there is if you do life tracing. You know, of I remember being so-and-so, and lots of psychologists, sociologists, occult studies, they have done these research studies of following back into historical records. Can they find mm-hmm. who they are? When somebody would have had no knowledge of, you know, of that particular lifetime. So some people would say that's evidence. Others would say it's conjecture. We're only looking at what we want to see. You know, so it's really we deal with reincarnation in the scientific community or general society as theoretical.
And I would say that when you're in a position where you don't necessarily have a perspective to see the entirety of one's existence, perhaps you can have memories and they can be incredibly accurate, but are you recalling past lives, or are you recalling genetic memories that's been passed along through ancestors, or are you tapping into perhaps, you know, the Akashic record of, you know, total knowledge, or into some kind of vein of psychic energy? So it's just an interesting thought experiment about all the different ways it can go. But that being said, I think there is a certain logic to reincarnation. And reincarnation, like any belief in terms of life after death or the origins of the soul and things like that, beliefs in it vary. Of course, we've already talked about that. And it's... How do I want to say this? It's, you can't prove it or disprove it, but it has a logic to it in the cyclical nature of existence. You can look in life and see the cycles of nature, the cycles of life. You can see personalities that tend to repeat themselves in different animals and different things. And it's not such a leap of the imagination to think that the energy that is us goes in to a different creature. It's not exactly it's not as necessarily a big leap of imagination as a burning bush giving prophecy. Mm. So,
I have, in my visual, I see it as, you know, when we all, let me back up and say, first you have to believe that the soul has a consciousness and that we are conscious beings and that, you know, there's an energy of us that does go back to the source. Now, some people don't believe that. I do. So, and I think generally most of us here and who are listening can agree with that. So I see it as kind of like raindrops. You know, each soul is like a raindrop in a big cloud. And, you know, it kind of comes to the earth and then evaporates and goes back up again. Mm-hmm. But then comes back again. So that's sometimes how I visualize how we return to a universal energy, and that we can and do, in fact, you know, incarnate many times. Now, there's a theory that I really quite like, and meaning I'm leaning in the direction of believing it, is that souls come together in clusters. an agreement to come to the earth, so to speak. And that as this these individuals of this cluster go through these various cycles of incarnations and, you know, contributing what they're going to contribute, learn what they're going to learn, they collectively return to that other source. Now, where that other source goes, that's where I'm stuck. I don't know. Could this be to greater sources, other planets? You know, I mean, it's really open to, we don't know. So that's where we get into the real theoretical stuff. But I do see that in the energy around Earth and this part of the universe, if you will, that souls are a particular vibration. In other words, all souls vibrate to a certain frequency and, you know, come to the earth. Mm-hmm. Now, Buddhists also believe, and this is what's interesting to take it in another area, Buddhists believe that you can, because we come to earth and we all vibrate within a frequency range, we can come back to earth as a mosquito or another life force. Now, my late teacher, Frank, he would say he disagreed with that, in that every life form on the planet and within its sphere vibrates to its own frequency, and that it stays within that frequency. Like dogs and cats may vibrate at a similar frequency rate. So within certain animal kingdoms, so to speak, that's the way he saw it. So, you know, I still think that no matter which way you look at it, Earth vibrates within, you know, scientifically, a certain frequency, so many hertz, so to speak, mm-hmm. and that each one of us is a participant in that, meaning that's where we're all part of this one great source. So and I know we have talked about reincarnation in the past, and we've skimmed over a lot of ideas, but I think that anybody, I want to throw this in, I think anyone who has an interest or propensity, you know, a fascination with a culture, a historical period, I think that that is, I consider it a past life memory or something that wants to be heard. I know, Michael, you have quite an interest in Russian history.
Oh, yes, very much so. I'm a huge amateur history buff in general, but Russian history has always been fascinating. Strangely dark, but always fascinating.
Mm. Well, it had dark times.
frequently yeah. And often, yes. I think it was, this is off topic, but on the topic of historic Russia, Moscow as a city was burned down repeatedly in its early days, just for sometimes an accident, sometimes conquerors, but every, you know, few decades to every 100 years, it would just be burned down and rebuilt. Mm. And I guess that kind of goes, well, it's the cycle of death and rebirth, I would suppose, but it's also a testament to the resiliency of the Russians, but also very, you know, prophetic in the way that they would consistently have to go through hard times. Not that they haven't had great, you know, good times, but a lot of rough times.
You're drawn to that. So I would say that there's a soul connection that you have with certain time periods in Russian history. That's the way I interpret that. It doesn't mean that you necessarily have to go back and dig around for past life memories. You don't have to do that, but that you're drawn to it. And perhaps if it was that you were to travel to Russia, maybe not in this lifetime,
right.
but you know, I don't know how easy it'll be to travel to Russia anytime soon, but if you were to go there, you would very likely feel a sense of familiarity in various buildings or places or landscape and say, ooh, this is really resonating with me. I've talked to a lot of people who've had that happen to them, you know, never been there before, but they feel strangely connected. And it doesn't mean you have to have an absolute memory. Mm-hmm. It's a sensation.
See? It is a fascinating notion, and it is strange. You can just be in a place and have a certain feeling about it. Or now, I don't necessarily align with Russian cultural trends. You know, I find Russian male machismo especially toxic. But of course, in any place, there have been brilliant Russian writers. There have been, you know, if I was to have reincarnated from an ancient Russian, I would ideally like to be one of the better czars. I'm going to shoot for the top and say Peter the Great. He was a good one. But, you know, it is an interesting way to look at it. And I would say the idea of the frequency is another interesting notion I hadn't really thought about before. Because my first real introduction into the idea of reincarnation was through that study of Buddhism, which, as you said, I think usually you ascend to higher and higher planes as you attain different levels of awareness. Whereas with Hindu, it's based on karmic energy, if I'm not mistaken. And so there's a story I recall of the life that the Buddha had, Siddhartha Buddha, before he became the Buddha in that following life as Siddhartha. And it was, he basically did an amazingly good act. I can't recall what it is. It's been too long since I've looked at it. And it's basically because he attained that, in his next life, he was able to attain true enlightenment. It was this multi-existence progression. And I thought that was an interesting notion. I always found, you know, certain sayings about Buddhism to be somewhat poignant and enlightening, in the sense where you attain a level of serenity because you accept things as the way they are. Not that you don't want to change them, but you see the beauty in the moment. You understand the temporary nature of everything, and that makes everything in and of itself beautiful. And, well, not everything, but you know what I mean. There is beauty in the world just as there is darkness, and you can see the totality of it. You realize there often is more beauty than you would have otherwise thought. And that just reminds me of a couple of things. It reminds me of a story where he was meditating under a Bodhi tree, and he is approached by a Brahmin in northern India. And this Brahmin this holy man is struck by the serenity that is being exuded from the Buddha. And he says, "Who are you?" And the Buddha replies, "I am the one who woke up." Now that always stuck with me as an interesting way to look at it, an interesting saying. The other way that he described enlightenment, or so it said, nobody wrote anything until 500 years after he supposedly existed, which was 500 years before Christ supposedly turned BC into AD. But it's just an interesting notion, and the idea of going through successive generations of existences, of lives, gaining knowledge and wisdom through each successive iteration until you attain a level of enlightenment and you attain nirvana. And at that point, I think you're just out of the game. I don't know, either just a pure sense of serenity at that point.
I think then that might lend some credibility to the theory of that souls in those clusters, perhaps, you know, returning to a higher source.
Right.
You know, and could they in the future decide, okay, let's all go back? I don't know. Maybe they're rotating planets.
Well, frankly, I mean, I don't know. I think that you know, non-linear, non-corporeal, you know, existence would get boring after a while. I mean, if you really think about it,
what's the point?
Infinite is a heck of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And what makes life interesting more than uncertainty? Yeah, it makes it a little terrifying at times too. And life can be terrifying, and there are horrible things that happen. But the uncertainty brings a certain sweetness to life when wonderful things happen, because you didn't know it was going to happen, and it becomes this amazing moment. And to think about an existence outside of that linear time where you know the past, present, and future as one, you know, entity in itself, all parts of the same totality of existence, I guess that'd get boring.
But now we're getting really esoteric. It's like
that's
time
the fun
and
stuff.
Space and how we live in a linear place and how the others aren't. I mean, that gets... It even gets complicated in my mind, and yet I completely conceptually understand what you're saying, which that's interesting in itself, Michael. So I think what, you know, when I think about the Dalai Lama, here's a good example, everybody, about the Dalai Lama is the 14th incarnation of the Dalai Lama. He's the Tenzin Gyatso, and if I have read the Dalai Lama's biographies and autobiographies, and I've always had this great propensity for Tibet, because I believe I was born into Tibet in 950 AD. I lived to be 100 years old, which I'll tell you a little more about that in a second. But the Dalai Lama, how he is recognized is by his memory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when the Dalai Lama dies in this, from this embodiment, they wait until he's reborn. But it takes a few years for a child to begin to speak of his memory. And usually there's other connections. And, you know, it's kind of follow the yellow brick road. And then he has to pass many tests to make sure, you know, that this is the Dalai Lama, his next incarnation. Yeah. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's just do a, you know, a thought experiment about how it takes time for the memories to come. And I've always thought that a soul is grown over time, through awareness and knowledge, well, history. And it's just as the...
Well, you mean people who are evolved like amoebas versus people who actually... have conscience and expanded awareness.
Right. I think that, and this was when I was, you know, debating a lot of different things about life and how does life originate and where does the soul begin and all that. And I think it really comes from awareness, awareness of your surroundings, and that over time, I think, can lead to maybe greater knowledge. You know, I've never had any pretense to past life memories, but I have always felt older than I am. I did have a very vivid dream where I was looking at a report, just a printout, you know, a basic little, you know, spreadsheet you'd see, with just little factoids about the totality of my existence. And one of the numbers was number of lives, 36. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. But other than that, I have no claim. But it's just a, go ahead.
I was going to say, a theory is that energy can only withstand to hold so much energy. And so if we think about the Earth at the moment with, you know, almost 8 billion people, that's the most human beings on the planet that we know of, certainly. Now, how many souls are there? Or is there an infinite number of souls that can, you know, come to the Earth? Or are there, is it kind of being spread a little thin? And the reason I say that is, it's a lot of writing in the early writings of my life, readings that I've done in my life, referenced, you know, a space and time between in each incarnation that allows for the soul to adjust, to absorb where it's been, you know, and make the transition, if it will, to go into a new lifetime. Mm-hmm. When souls have to come back so quickly, you know, there's no time for adjustment. So there can be a lot of, you know, spiritual memory carried forward and a lot of identity crisis, you know, to people in this life. You know, a lot of emotional disturbance or, you know, just identity issues about who am I, and not feeling comfortable in your body for a whole number of reasons, because, I mean, we are having to fill X number of bodies when souls aren't necessarily ready. So that's what I mean by being spread a little thin. Ever since I was very, very young, I was quite obsessed with China, namely Tibet. And of course, when I started school in 1960, all the history books had been rewritten in a summer to say that Tibet was always a part of China, which is not true.
Oh, God.
1955, China began invading Tibet to take it over. And of course, the Dalai Lama is living in exile in India. But I have always had this connection to it, and feeling like every now and again I get these glimmers of feeling connected. Now, because I dabble in art and paintings, my three children, when they were younger, I decided to take each of their baby pictures and paint portrait, like their portrait, into a like a triangle of their baby faces on a canvas. And what came out were all Buddhist monks. I kid you not. I still have it hanging in my hallway. And I went, wow. Because I, no matter how much I tried to draw and paint these baby pictures, they came out like little old men, you know, like in all Tibetan. And so I kind of painted a temple in the background and this mountain. And I went, that's where I knew them all. And I had this enormous expansion of memory while I was painting, this piece, that I died when I was 100 years old in 1050. Now, I have zero connection to anything from around what they would say is the time of Christ until 950. I have no interest in the history, no interest in anything. But I can connect with every century from 950 AD to now, right to I absolutely believe I died in 1939. I was 25 years old. Then I have another memory of being in 1888. And I could almost, some of them, as I've gotten older, I'll have dreams about them or flashbacks, and I can tell you the date. It's kind of crazy, honestly.
Well, I want to sneak a couple of things in here before we wrap up the topic. And one of those is the idea, and we've touched on this before, so, you know, common listeners will have heard us talk about this, but the idea that reincarnation does not always follow linear time. Because if your soul, if the energy that is you goes back into a pool of consciousness or pool of energies or, you know, whatever the totality of life in our sphere could be, and then re-enters into a different vessel for life, if it goes back into a place where it's abstract and linear time doesn't necessarily have the same meaning, why does it always have to follow the same path? Mm. So was your first memory in 950 or approximate of what you had said? And that's just an interesting thought to me that you can, hey, in my first life it was 1060 CE, but my second life was 1934. That's when I, or as you said, 1939 for your example. Then my third life, I reincarnated into 1888, and so on and so forth. So you're not exactly following necessarily a linear time throughout our universe as we know it.
Interesting, isn't it?
I've always had fun with that idea. And the other one was, and this is what I was trying to kind of think of a way to say, not so much that a child is just an antenna for a soul and it doesn't have, you know, value in and of itself as a baby and grows, but the body is a machine, and that machine needs to develop. And once you can develop to the point where you can connect with that part of yourself, that connection to your soul, the brain is really the antenna through which your existence, the idea of what we are that is more than the sum of our parts, that goes into the rest of us, then connects with the rest of our body. It's kind of an antenna in that way, and it has to build, it has to develop in order to pick up the, you know, the motive. Another thing that kind of comes into play in this, and this will be the last thing I'll say on the topic, but it's always been an interesting analogy. If you were to look at human awareness and consciousness, the human body, how we operate, you could say that it's related to a person using a computer. The hardware of the computer is the, you know, the genetic makeup of that species. What is it capable of doing? The software of that computer is the knowledge of that individual being, creature, human, what have you. It learns over time. It has, you know, operating system built in from instinct and things like that. But the other component is the user, and that would be the soul. the user of that computer is the other component to that analogy. And that's always been an interesting way to look at it.
It is. It is a good way, interesting way, Michael. I find that really fascinating.
Oh, see, you're just
lots
saying
to
that.
Think about. No, I'm not really thinking about it. You know, and if I can say to everybody, I know we've had these conversations a little bit in the past. Each time I hope that we expand a little bit more and give you a little more, you know, food for thought, so to speak. But don't disregard cellular memory, epigenetic memory, meaning that science now knows 14 generations of emotional memory. So it's not just about the color of your eyes or your hair, you know, things that could pass down physically. We also have, you know, other cellular memory. And so don't forget about that. Sometimes past lives are misread. You know, something, let's say in 1632, could have been an ancestor. You know, so it's just something to think about if you're going to explore. Now, no matter my... the stand I like to take is that if a memory wants to be known or heard, then we go there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's really just interesting. We're learning how to be in this lifetime. Hopefully what we're doing in tapping into past lives is bringing, as you had said, Michael, bringing that expanded consciousness forward, that we become, you know, a little wiser, greater, smarter, and greater contributors, you know, to this incarnation. Because I think sometimes we have it a little bit backwards. Everybody says, you know, we're here to learn. I think we're here to create. And I think the first number of years of this incarnation is to learn the rules. Oh, there's refrigerators here this time. Oh, you know, we have central heating. So.
And what a, you know, if you could just remember vividly all your past lives, what a great little surprise. Like, oh, I'm in a time that has electricity and indoor plumbing. Oh, that's going to be great. That's so convenient.
Yeah, I know. It's all. Anyway, you know, I put it in the chat room. I said, anybody like a card? And we got names, Michael. So it's going to keep us busy. Hope you all enjoyed the conversation tonight. Of course, Michael and I can talk forever. But, we, you know, we have to watch the clock. And
only because you say so, I could keep going.
In there. some chatter in there about, I'm sorry, who is it that's taking the M2 right now? I'm going back there, Sherry. Sherry's taking M2, that's the second in the master's courses at IMHS, and it's a wonderful course. Dr. Edward says, yeah, that was his favorite, well, it was mine too. I love that course, you know, quantum physics and
such interesting stuff.
It is great stuff. So, if you haven't got to your M2 yet, you've got something to look forward to, and people who've been there, you know exactly what we're talking about. So, there we go. Anyway,
very nice.
So let's
all
get
right.
started, shall we?
Absolutely, and I'm ready. I've been
let's
shuffling.
Let's start with Jamil.
And yes. Jamil, I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Great start. Oh,
good start.
Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding, as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, in support of that, Jamil, is the Ace of Hearts. Boy, that's just awesome. That means being true to your heart, being true to your spirit, your soul, the essence of your being. So you're tapping into, you know, it's like growing. Let's think of it as a bright light that's kind of expanding, and you're kind of figuring out what that means to you, but tapping into that wisdom. So that's a really good affirmation. He says, that's perfect for me. He says, I'm wearing his amethyst necklace tonight.
Very
that's
nice.
Good.
Very
good
nice.
Mojo. All right, Dr. Edward, let's get going here.
All
what
right.
do you got for Edward?
Dr. Edward, I have number 37, groundedness.
Okay.
Good one. I don't think we pulled this one in a while. We'll have to ask our expert, Wendy. All right, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or a denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover, and adjust your opinions when new facts are found.
Well, I got the King of Hearts for you, Edward. That's great. So I'm going to kind of say to you what I said to Jamil is like coming from your heart. So being is grounded with a sensibility, but still being true to the center of your being. You know, so, you know, analyzing like with those key phrases of Dr. Kelly's preference versus principle and so on. And it's so you're being opening from your heart, but you're being sensible about it. So learning different and new applications. So I think that's a great affirmation for you today. Really good.
Very nice.
Okay.
I like it. And we have Wendy next, I believe.
We do.
And Wendy, tonight, I have number... this is great. Number 4, past, present, future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are 1... You are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Wendy, I got the 2 of spades. That's a new one, I think, that I've pulled for anyone here. The 2 of spades, I call it one of the back cards. It's kind of like being at a fork in the road, having to make decisions, but you can't really see everything clearly. And that's where you rely totally on your intuition and that sense of rightness for yourself. So moving forward, even though you don't necessarily know where you're going, but you're moving forward nonetheless, like inching along. So past, present, future, and you're right at that center of that. What is a good decision for you, even if it doesn't make sense? Because sometimes we have to do that. So I would say that you're at a decision-making point. You're looking at your decisions. So follow that gut feeling, that sensitivity that you have. So I think you're embarking on something new. That's what that tells me.
Yeah. So very nice.
Sherry. Yeah. Sherry is next.
All right. And Sherry, I have number 23, meaning and purpose.
All right.
Let's see. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Well, the Jack of Diamonds in support of that, Sherry. Now, understand in cards, you have Jacks for Kings, but no Princesses for Queens. So I always see a Jack as male or female, and it can be whatever we feel that is. But the Jack of Diamonds, or the Jack of Pentacles in this case, in support of meaning purpose, you might be looking at your livelihood. You know, what you're doing, what gives you a sense of purpose. And perhaps even looking at your career, your work, you know, how you want to move forward, and perhaps even setting some new goals for yourself that are more in line with giving you a good feel. But it definitely has to do with possessions like finances. So if you're thinking that, you're right on target, because my sense here is that there might be some changes coming up this year for you. So that just flashed in my head. So be sure that it gives you a sense of meaning in your life, and it's purposeful, and you can't go wrong.
I love it. All right.
Audra is next.
And Audra, for you tonight, I pulled number 11, Awareness. Another great card that I don't think we pulled in a little bit.
No.
Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continuing to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Audra, the Six of Hearts is one of community, family, commitment, service, that kind of thing, but also what makes you feel good, what gives you joy. And so your awareness and perhaps fortifying some bonds in the family, refortifying some bonds, connecting with friends, and looking around at your community in ways that you might like to apply yourself. So I see some ideas floating around, and it's saying you're ready to take the next step. So in connecting, look, we all appreciate it's COVID, don't get me wrong, but there's many ways to connect with people that are not necessarily physical contact. So you might be trying to get creative about that. And that's a really supportive, wonderful card for you in your awareness and into all those you love. So extra insights.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. And we have Natalie next, if I'm on track.
I think so.
And Natalie, I have number 41, communication. Let's see. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. Lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Wow, Page of Hearts. Now, the page is the communicator between the minor and the major arcana in the tarot. They are the bridge, so to speak. So, Natalie, when you have communications card, and that's also supported by a page, which is a communications card, then, and it's from the heart, so that, you know, the cups, if you will, in the tarot language, I'd say that you are finding new ways to present yourself. You're finding new ways to articulate a new language, you know, how you want to speak on your own behalf, more true to you, you know, but in a right way, right? That's delivered in a good way for others to hear you. So articulating is a real skill. You know, what do you mean to say? Say what you mean. And I'd say that you may be turning a corner in this and finding new ways to find your voice. So I think that's awesome.
Ah, very good. Got some good cards tonight. I love it.
We do.
All right. And Elena is next. And Elena, this is one of my favorite, although the wild cards are always great. This is wild card number 8, Freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
I think some of our collective energy has been changing because there's a lot of new cards. And Wendy, who's our card keeper, has also been saying, you know, Edward and her didn't get those cards before, others didn't get those cards. I think we're in a new collective frequency. It's shifting, so that's great. That's a good sign for 2021. Elena, in addition to freedom, I love this, you have the Queen of Diamonds. So as you are expressing yourself better, greater, more, and finding your sense of self, your autonomy of self, you're also going to find ways to do that in how you earn a living, your career, your work, a new expression. It doesn't necessarily mean you change what you do, but perhaps how you do it, or in the position or capacity that you've been doing it. You might just change expressions. So I think that that's awesome. It's also a great sign of independence, less dependency on others, looking more at how you look after yourself, how you're managing your own life, and moving forward in your life, like as a free and sovereign being of the universe, so to speak. So I think that's really powerful. Really powerful.
Very good.
All right. Monica, we have Monica next.
Michael? We do. Yeah. And Monica, I have number 16, continuity of life.
Good one.
Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. This is perfect on tonight's topic. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
Monica, if you've been having like a bit of a tough time lately, that's about to change. So if there's been some things on your mind, a few stresses going on outside of COVID, that is, you got the Four Hearts. Now, I love the Four Hearts in that it's very often right out of nowhere. It's like a gift from nowhere. Something drops in your lap. So it's something unexpected. Now, I know a lot of people would say the negative of this particular symbol is that something could be taken away. I go by the vibe of how I'm feeling at that moment. And to me, it's absolutely right side up in that the continuity of life and, you know, for all that it represents, that be prepared that things are changing and now some things are starting to come your way. So hang in there. That's what I want to say to you. Continuity is sometimes being patient. And it's coming. So just keep putting those good vibes out there, and it's on its way.
Very nice.
I think we've covered all the names. What a great bunch.
We have one more, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, but I believe we have Voyules as requested a card as well.
Okay,
Oh, no worries. And I'm just going to pull one real quick for you. I got number 44, Attitude and Disposition.
Good one.
Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be a positive or a negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Well, Voyles, and I do hope we're pronouncing that correctly. Two popped out here together, so I got to go with it. You got the Jack of Spades, which, interestingly enough, can be a little bit abrasive, but you have the Chariot. So attitude and disposition, it might be to watch the porcupine quills, move forward in a good way that's not necessarily aggressive, but rather assertive. So it's the disposition that you have. And for you, it's like, I feel like I've got this feeling like you want to get up and go. But just remember that this is what I'm inclined to tell you. Remember that when you make changes in your life, let other people know. Because sometimes if you're changing, they don't know what you're doing, and it can kind of cause a rift. So let be a communicator and let people in on things as you're going. So absolutely great time to move forward, absolutely great time to get things going in your life. But it is about you don't have to ruffle the feathers because it's just not necessary. And so you can do it in a really positive way. So that's just kind of a heads up there. And even though, you know, sometimes we do it, we're not even intending to do it. So it's to be a little bit more aware. Hope that makes sense to you. Well, we're getting some good feedback.
We are.
One
of the best parts about having people that can join us live when we're, you know, taping this broadcast that we put up in the archives is we get that interaction. And it really has, it's highlighted my week. And I thank you all for joining us. And it's always a great conversation. I think there are even avenues of this, immense topic of reincarnation that we never even touched on. I had in my note the idea of a metaphorical reincarnation, the idea of not in a literal sense, but metaphorically. But
and then there are other things like being reborn in a lifetime. Yeah. That's like another incarnation in the same body. Absolutely possible in expanded consciousness. There's so much we haven't tapped on. We'll certainly save that for a future show because this topic never runs out.
Absolutely. It's going to be an interesting one. And next week, we're going to have Dr. Doug Kelly joining us. He's going to be with us for a mystery topic. We're going to be surprised and find out what it's going to be for next week. I think we're going to be putting our heads together, thinking about some topics coming up for our broadcast in February. But as always, if you have any ideas, post it on One Planet Community on Facebook. Shoot us an email, and we have that on the website as well, and we will make sure to pay it some mind and include it. So, any last thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
No, I'll be glad if I can get my Skype fixed on my computer. I had to go onto my phone tonight. I was having a little panic attack for a minute, but by then, I'm hoping within the next week, Skype will be more agreeable. It's those Skype gods, you know.
They are vengeful and angry, the Skype gods. Beware the wrath and the smite of thy Skype gods.
But... Oh, man, Microsoft. Thanks again for a great show, everybody. And thanks for all of your participation in the chat and the conversation. Yeah, as always for me, it's great. It is a highlight of my week, too.
Well...
What does that say about our life?
It says that we have a fantastic group of people that we come together with and talk to every week. It says that I'm lucky enough that you slum it with me every week to have a conversation, so I appreciate it.
Slumming. It's great.
But until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.